It's time for the Cobos Insurance Center High School Wrestling Recap, presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. Every week, WEUL's Tim Alcorn and the Chronicle-Telegram's Sean Bennett talk wrestling. It's brought to you by Cobos Insurance Center, your Grange independent agent, and by Century 21 Deanna Realty. We'll recap the high school wrestling coming up on WEOL.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the Cobos Insurance Center Thursday Wrestling Recap on AM 930 WEOL, on your phone with the WEOL mobile app, and of course online at WEOL.com, and our weekly wrestling recap presented by Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. Tim Alcorn with AM 930 WEOL, joined each and every week by Sean Bennett from the Chronicle-Telegram. Great to have you with us as you dial in for your weekly recap as far as wrestling news in Lorain County and across Northeast Ohio. And Sean Bennett, as always, a pleasure to be joined by you here at the microphone. Perhaps people prefer this version than our video version. Maybe we have those infamous faces for radio. I don't know. But as always, great to be with you. Great to talk wrestling. As we did mention during the video, that of course goes up on WEOL.com and the Chronicle's website and Facebook page and the like. Boy, so much action got wiped out last week that we really don't have a lot of recapping to do per se. But boy, for a couple of teams that were out on the mats last weekend, including Elyria, we will have plenty to talk about.
Yeah, the benefit for us is that at least the one tournament that really went off was the Mombi Bay Classic, which was considered one of the best tournaments in the state all year, let alone last weekend. And we had three teams there. They all did something special. So there's lots to talk about. But unfortunately, you're right. Bill D's Memorial, which I've covered the last few years out at Akron Firestone, they canceled. That was another nice event. The Coach Ant Classic at Westlake, the Tiger Duels at Twinsburg, Husky Invitational at Northwestern, all wiped out, all had Lorain County teams competing. So very unfortunate for us. The only other thing that went off involving an area coverage team was the Catholic Invitational Tournament, which Elyria Catholic competes in out at St. Ignatius High School. Elyria Catholic did not have any placers there. They finished 22nd out of 24 teams. Obviously, they would like to do better. It's mostly a numbers thing. It's not like they probably performed poorly. It's just the fact that they just didn't have a lot of wrestlers to take that event to score points to get a high placement. But it was a little disappointing as far as the amount of competition that happened. But what did happen was pretty fun to watch.
Now, even though a lot of the action got wiped out last weekend, as always on our weekly wrestling recap, we also look ahead. And during our third segment tonight, we are going to talk to the head coach over at Firelands. They've got the Jim Solomon Invitational coming up this weekend.
Yeah, it's a cool tournament. They've been running it for years. And like we said in the video, they kind of renamed it for the former coach, Jim Solomon. Which is really nice to, when they do that, there's a lot of, and wrestling is a sport where it really embraces its former coaches. Mm-hmm. If one passes away, you'll see a lot of memorial tournaments. We just talked about the Bill Dees Memorial out at Akron Firestone. So you see that happen a lot, and it's because it's such a special sport, and everybody considers themselves a family within the sport. So you see that happen a lot, and it will be a good tournament. There's a lot going on with the first two rounds of the regional dual team tournament, and it's going to be fun. Good week.
Josh Walbum from Firelands will join us during that third segment to talk about the Jim Solomon tournament coming up this weekend, and obviously we'll talk a little bit about what's happened so far with Firelands this year. They're putting together a very nice campaign.
Yeah.
All right, so stay with us. It's the Cobos Insurance Center Weekly Wrestling Recap. It's presented by Century 21 Deanna Family Realty right here in Elyria. Glad to have you with us on AM 930 WEOL. Maybe you're listening on your phone with the mobile app, or perhaps online at WEOL.com. Welcome back to our weekly Thursday Wrestling Recap. It's brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. Tim Alcorn with AM 930 WEOL, joined each and every week here on the microphone at AM 930 by the great wrestling writer for the Chronicle-Telegram, Sean Bennett. Covers that wrestling scene like nobody else, and of course We're glad to have you with us on AM 930, perhaps on the mobile app or online at WEOL.com. Hey, don't forget tonight right here on WEOL before we revert back to wrestling talk. We've got Cavs basketball for you. Cavs taking on the Orlando Magic. Again, we'll have it tonight right here on AM 930. But back to that wrestling beat. And Sean Bennett, as we talked about, most everything got wiped out last weekend. But the Maumee Bay Classic did take place at Oregon Clay High School. You made the trip up there, survived the elements. Didn't get to Tony Paco's. We talked about that in the video. But you saw some great wrestling. And boy, how about Elyria? Number one out of 45 teams at that ninth annual Maumee Bay Classic.
Yeah, Elyria was super impressive out there. They finished with eight placers, two champions, six finalists, all eight. And it's a 45-team field, so they actually place eight at this tournament, and all eight of their wrestlers finished in the top three. So, wow. You know, excellent. Even the guys who didn't make it in the final, both of those guys, freshmen, Enrique Munguia and Jake Evans, lost early and battled back hard and, you know, got into the third-place match, which is basically the consolation final. So kind of all of them were wrestling in final matches. So, yeah, really nice to see kind of these guys step up and put together a performance like this, because, you know, they've been battling in these crazy, the Beast of the East, Ironman, these tough tournaments. So this is what they do it for, and they come back, and they finally had a team all together pretty much. I mean, they're still missing a couple, but, yeah, nice overall team performance.
We didn't talk a lot about Enrique Munguia during the video, nor Matt Zuckerman. So take a couple of minutes and talk about those guys and the performances that they were able to put together at the Maumee Bay Classic. Enrique finishes third at 145. Matt Zuckerman second at 138. Very impressive performances.
Yeah, well, Matt Zuckerman is a junior, and he's a two-time state qualifier, and what was impressive about that was as a freshman, he went in at 106 pounds. It was not unheard of. But then last year with Mick Burnett and Dylan Shaver, these super, you know, star freshmen coming up, they came in and they kind of swallowed up those early spots, and Matt Zuckerman was a small guy last year. So he ended up bumping up all the way to wrestle at 126 pounds. And he was probably weighing about 115 pounds. So he was wrestling almost 10 pounds, guys 10 pounds heavier than him. So he was trying to eat, shove in the Tony Paco's chili dogs, you know, doing whatever he could to pump himself up. But he ends up going and qualifying the state at a weight, you know, where he honestly had no business probably getting down there. It was just an unbelievable thing. And the guy continues to impress. Now he's at the 138 pounds. He's still probably undersized at 138 pounds. He goes in this weekend as the number seven seed, has to face the number two, three, and the number one, two, and three, the top three seeds in the tournament, and he beats the number two and three seeds before finally losing a tight 5-3 match to Hunter Yackey of Wasean, who was the number one seed, a returning state placer. Buddy beat, you know, Chippewa's Mason Hayes, who was a state placer and the number two seed on the way. Can't say enough about that kid. As far as Munguia goes, you know, this kid's ranked number 20 or seeded number 20 in this thing, and he goes ahead and finishes number three. That's amazing. Yeah, that's improving your seed by quite a lot. And he wrestled a lot of tough guys along the way. And as I said earlier in the video, you know, he loses in the third round or the quarterfinals and has to win four straight matches to get in that third place match, beating some tough kids along the way. He beat a state qualifier in Ryan Whistle from Medina in the second round. You know, and this is a freshman, and he honestly is kind of he was the backup starting the season. Jimmy Schill was the starter and broke his hand, and Munguia kind of stepped into the varsity lineup and he hasn't missed a beat. So really impressive as far as that guy goes as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you talk about a guy who really put together a nice string. Jake Evans finished third at 170, but he lost in the second round, but then reeled off six straight matches to take that third place.
Yeah, and he's another freshman, but probably not as much of a surprise as Munguia. Evans was a middle school state champion. He was a middle school Super 32 champion, which is like one of the big national tournaments. He was kind of a superstar coming in. People were like, ooh, wow. So he's finally kind of opening eyes to what he can do, and he is impressive. He's definitely an impressive guy for a freshman, especially when you're wrestling at 170 pounds. Freshman wrestling 170 pounds, you're not expecting a lot of success because they just don't know the game yet as far as high school wrestling goes. And when you're a freshman at 106 pounds, you're facing a lot of freshmen at 106 pounds. When you're a freshman at 170 pounds, you're facing a lot of juniors, right. A lot of seniors.
He's
wrestling guys with 2-3 more years of experience than him, probably a lot more that 170 pounds is muscle when you're an older kid, because that's what you're doing is you're in the weight room those 3 years and you're cutting a lot more weight. So, really nice performance by Evans, too, because he went in there and as the number 22 seed, just like, you know, Munguia finished as number 3, and he beat some kids that were tough, you know. Xavier, and the nice thing, too, another thing about him, he lost and knocked out of the consolation round in the second round, which we said, which too was to Xavier Torres from Wauseon, a returning state qualifier, beat Torres 3-0 in the consolation semifinals, avenged his only loss in the tournament bracket, and came back and took that third place.
Well, hats off. And for those of you who haven't seen the video, again, Sean and I do a weekly wrestling video. You can catch it on the Chronicles website, on WEOL's website, but if you haven't seen the video, real quick, we kind of went in depth on it in the video, but boy, Matt Lee, another great performance from the Amherst 285-pounder.
Yeah, it shouldn't even be a surprise anymore, but he shouldn't be able to surprise, but he did surprise again, because Matt Lee goes in, he's the number 2 seed, but the number 1 seed is Austin Emerson, a kid from Bedford High School in Michigan, who is a state runner-up for Michigan. He's the number 1 seed in this field, and he's ranked nationally. Now, going into this tournament, he was number 8 by Intermat, number 6 by Flow Wrestling, so we're thinking, well, you know, Matt Lee still can walk away from this tournament and say, oh, I've never lost to a guy from Ohio. Well, now he's never lost to a guy from Ohio or Michigan because he went in there and he pinned Austin Emerson pretty early in the second round or second period, got a low lock in on him, was able to swing him down to his back, and just basically, he basically trapped one of the arms so that Emerson lost his balance and swung him to his back. They counted out 5 seconds, so he had a 3-second near fall. So at that point, he's up 5-1. Emerson escaped early in the second period, and then just pinned the kid. It was a really, really super awesome. Impressive. And I mean, and up to that point, he had pinned everybody in the first period on the way, including two state ranked guys in Nick Daly from Oregon Clay and Uniontown Lakes, Michael Mather.
Good stuff. And before we take the break, Tyler Bath had a pretty good showing up there as well, the Vermilion wrestler.
Yeah, and again, like I said, he had a nice signature win. He also had a really brutal weight class. He had to, you know, face a couple tough guys and another Michigan kid from Chippewa Hills who was a returning state placer, Billy Kep. He lost to him in the quarterfinals, but then bounces back to have probably his signature win of the season, if not his career, in beating Brandon Phillips of Maumee. Number 1 seed, state runner-up, ranked, I believe, number 1 in the country in Division 2, or not number 1 in the country, sorry, number 1 in the state in Division 2. Really huge win, and he pinned that kid as well, so big win.
Great, great job by Tyler Bath over at Vermilion High School. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we've got some action on the mats this weekend to talk about, including the Jim Solomon tournament over at Firelands, and the head coach of the Firelands Falcons, Josh Walbum, will join us in our next segment to talk a little bit about that tournament and some of the things that are happening for Firelands this year on the mat. So stay with us. It's the Cobos Insurance Center weekly wrestling recap presented by Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. Glad to bring it to you each and every Thursday on AM 930 WEOL, on your phone with the app, and online at WEOL.com. And we welcome you back to our weekly Thursday wrestling recap on AM 930 WEOL. Each and every week, our wrestling recap brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Century 21 Deanna Family Realty. Tim Elcorn with AM 930 WEOL each and every Thursday, joined by Sean Bennett, the wrestling beat writer for the Chronicle-Telegram, does a great job week in and week out bringing you up to date in the newspaper as far as what's happening on that wrestling scene. But great to have him with us each and every week on AM 930 WEOL. And great to have with us as well this week on our weekly wrestling recap, the head wrestling coach over at Firelands High School, Josh Walbum, now joins us on the phone line. Talk a little Firelands wrestling and a very special tournament coming up this weekend over at Firelands. Coach, great to have you with us on AM 930 WEOL. We appreciate you spending some time.
Yeah, good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, before we talk about what's happening this weekend and the Jim Solomon tournament, just kind of take us through what you've seen so far from your Firelands wrestling program this year. I don't know if you want to go through weight by weight, class by class, but just overall what you've seen from your wrestlers and what you've been pleased with so far.
Well, overall, I'd say that we've done pretty well. We front-loaded the schedule for the first half of the season to be pretty difficult. Had a tournament out in Defiance where we had some teams from other states, two-day dual tournament, and then the Medina Invitational and then Perrysburg Invitational. So we stayed pretty busy with pretty tough schedules at the beginning of the year. Had some good highlights out of that. Peyton Bergdorf, he's undefeated on the year at 26-0 at 106. And then at 113, we got Connor Ekman, who's had a nice start to the season. He's, I believe, 18-7 right now, plays eighth in Medina. Went 10-0 out there at the dual tournament Defiance. And then at heavyweight, Sean Lipscomb is 27-1 right now. Took third at Medina, first at Perrysburg, and he's got a lot of pins under his belt this year, so he's been doing pretty well. And then the rest of the guys are all doing pretty good, too. They just, you know, a lot of them just ran into a lot of heavy competition and, you know, didn't come out on top all the time. But now we're into the conference. Things slow down a little bit. And like last week at Brooklyn, a lot of the guys that, you know, were a little bit below 500 or, you know, kind of struggled, they were able to pick up two wins last week in the conference. That was nice. So, but yeah, pretty happy so far. We've had a good year.
Hey, Coach, last year, obviously, Peyton made big news, not just by, you know, being what he does, but for the program, he ended lengthy state qualifier drought, then ended a lengthy state placer drought. But this year, I mean, it's probably a very good chance that you could send Peyton and Sean and maybe, you know, another guy or two that maybe catches fire. And I can't remember if Firelands ever had, you know, a handful of guys go down at one time. It could end up being a pretty special year and kind of your first year at the helm. Is it kind of fun just to kind of soaking all this in and seeing what might possibly be this year?
Yeah, it's really fun and it's kind of stressful at the same time. Not in a bad way, though, because, like, you see the potential in some of the guys. Because I think you're right, Sean. I think that we probably could maybe sneak three or four guys into, not sneak, but we might. There's four guys that could potentially make it, you know. And you know, two of them are well on their way, and the other two are close. They're just, you know, it's what are they going to look like when they come to districts? Because they've kind of been back and forth. So that's like the stressful side of it, because you know you have more potential than even what most people think you have. But it's fun at the same time, you know. So it has been an enjoyable part. And then, you know, knowing that we've got some guys that are, you know, well on their way to the state tournament again this year, and then a couple more, though, that I think could get down there as well. So it's been fun.
Peyton Bergdorf, obviously, opened some eyes last year, and he kind of mentioned last year as he was doing it, he felt a little – disrespected that he wasn't, you know, nobody was looking at him, nobody had him in the rankings and stuff like that. Basically, he was flying under the radar. Well, obviously not the case this year. He placed fourth in the state. He's ranked number two in the state in the preseason rankings. So you're thinking now guys are targeting him. He's got a big bullseye on his back, and he hasn't wilted under the spotlight. How impressive has he been specifically, and did you even think that he could step up the game the way he has this year?
Well, you know, I wasn't around last year for him. The only other times I've really interacted with him was in the summers from Greco and stuff like that, freestyle. So I didn't really, you know what kind of a wrestler he was, like folk style or anything like that. But so this year was kind of me kind of catching up with him and kind of learning about him. And the crazy thing about Peyton is that when he's out there in a close match, you know, like my heart's probably kind of pounding through my chest in the corner. It's weird as a coach. I never used to get this nervous when I wrestled, but like, you know, if he's in a closer match, like you get kind of nervous and anxious. he's the opposite of that. Like when he wrestles, he's just like, I've learned like he's always in control. He never seems to get flustered. If he gets scored on, he looks the same as though he was beating the guy 10-0. It's So he's interesting from that perspective, because no matter what happens throughout a match, you always feel like he's just going to come around and figure it out, because that's what he's done all year. And there's been a couple times, like when he wrestled Garrett Lobsenheiser at Medina in the finals, like, and then Jake Manley in the finals at Perrysburg. I believe he got scored on first in both those matches. And yeah, and it's, in fact, the Manley match, I believe he was tied going in the third period, and then ended up winning like 8-4 and beating Lobsenheiser like 9-4. I mean, those are pretty good wins points wise. You know, nothing like a major decision, but just, it just kind of shows how, you know, even if he's close, like, he'll find a way to pull away. So that's one interesting thing I've learned about him. I'm just very impressed of how under control and calm he is when he wrestles.
Again, we're talking with Josh Walbaum. He's the head wrestling coach at Firelands High School, joining us here on our weekly wrestling recap on WEOL. Josh, we got about a minute or two left, but we do want to give you an opportunity to plug the Jim Solomon tournament coming up this weekend. Obviously, Jim's name is synonymous with great wrestling over at Firelands High School. Talk a little bit about the tournament that's upcoming.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing this at our middle school. It's got a slightly bigger venue. We've got some teams from around the northern part of the state coming in. Brecksville is going to bring their B team down. Akron North, Midview, Keystone, Lorain, might be missing Maple Heights, and I think it might be missing one more. But it'll be fun. We're gonna give some of our guys an opportunity that haven't really had a chance to wrestle much this year. We're gonna get them into the lineup and give them a shot here in front of the home crowd. There'll be probably a pretty good match at heavyweight. I think Sean and Daniel Bucknavich from Midview might see each other in the finals. So there's two state ranked guys. So I expect there will probably be a couple really good matches over the weekend. So it'll be fun.
And again, that'll be at the middle school, South Amherst Middle School?
That's correct, yes.
Good stuff.
Hey, Coach, real quick, I've never really asked somebody this, but there's so much preparation that goes throughout the week when you're getting ready for a tournament that weekend. Is it even more when you're actually hosting one? I mean, what are the extra duties that you now have to kind of, the details you have to worry about now that you're going to be kind of running the show?
Yeah, you know, it is a lot. Fortunately, we have a lot of support from the school and a lot of the wrestlers' parents. Specifically Sean's mom, she takes care of so much. So it takes a lot of the load off my shoulders, because I don't, you know, I'm not a teacher at the school, so my schedule's not always conducive to these tournaments on the weekends and stuff. But fortunately I got a lot of people around me in the program that are willing to help out. But yeah, it's a lot of days of preparation leading up to a tournament. You know, a lot of times it seems like it's a whole week prior that you're already thinking about, you know, submitting entries and, you know, figuring out who's going to be where and what, you know, who's going to provide the food and the travel and all that stuff. So it's a lot of work.
It sure is. It's also a nice way to remember and recognize Jim Solomon. As I said, one of the great wrestling coaches in the history of Lorain County. Coach, we appreciate you stopping by on this Thursday night edition of our weekly wrestling program here on WEOL. As I said earlier, congratulations on your team's success early, and best of luck in hosting the tournament this weekend again at South Amherst Middle School.
All right, guys. Thanks. Have a good day. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Josh.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
That's Josh Welbum, the head wrestling coach over at Firelands High School. All right, Sean, we got a couple of minutes left. Boy, aside from that tournament over at Firelands, not a whole lot going on this weekend.
No, only one other tournament involving our local teams, and that's the Terry Monroe Invitation at Western Reserve on Friday and Saturday. Brookside, Clearview, and Elyria's White team, their B varsity team, will be out there at that event. But the other thing that will be popping up this week is the regional first round and quarterfinal matches of the dual team tournament, the state OHSA tournament that's only been going, you know, not even a decade yet, will be popping up as well. And they've made a change this year. Instead of multiple first round sites, they're actually all each sub-region is at one site. So there'll be like eight teams competing at one site. The site For Division One will be Elyria. Elyria's hosted that for several years. Avon, Elyria, Lorain, and Midview will be there. Division Two will be at Norwalk. That'll be Brookside, Firelands, Keystone, and Vermilion. Now, Division Three still does have two sites because Black River's in a separate sub-region than most of our Division Three teams. They'll be out at Rittman, whereas Clearview, Columbia, and Wellington will all be at Independence. So that'll be kind of a fun start-off event.
There you go. Boy, the time always flies on this show, man. No, we appreciate Josh Walbaum for stopping by. And again, we wish them the best of luck as they host that tournament over at South Amherst Middle School. Keep that in mind. Don't go to Firelands High School. South Amherst Middle School hosting the Jim Solomon Memorial this weekend. All right, Sean Bennett, we'll see you again next week for the video and then the radio show next Thursday night.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Again, this has been a nice, year with the radio and the video and just kind of keeping myself busy, so it's a lot of fun.
Good stuff. All right, biggest thanks goes to you, the listeners, and I'll be back with you again tomorrow night. I've got high school basketball on Friday as I'll bring you Lutheran, West, and Clearview. But this week, wrestling right here on WEOL. Thanks to Sean Bennett. Biggest thanks goes to you as you dialed it in on AM 930 WEOL and online at WEOL.com.